Good evening, and welcome to Mondo Eros. My name is Stephen Otero. I'm your host, and this is our latest broadcast here on the New Adult Channel on bbsradio.com. And tonight I am broadcasting live from the offices of Sexy Spirits in Manhattan. And I have a very special guest with me tonight. There are not many times in one's profession that one can say that one is speaking to a living legend. But tonight, that is definitely true in this world of Mondo Eros. And I can hear her already laughing on the other end.
No, that means I'm old as shit. At living legend bit.
Well, in my world, in my mind, you definitely are, and I want to introduce Betty Dodson, who is, I'm so happy to have her tonight as my guest, because I get to talk to her for almost a whole hour, all to myself.
if my ear doesn't get sore. If my ear gets sore, you're going to have to call someone else.
Well, maybe if Carlin is done with her television, maybe she can come in.
Oh, yes, she's still here. Yes,
oh, she is.
In that case, I'll go and get her and say, okay, take it over. Take it away, Carlin. You know, I can't wait to see the American Swing.
Yes. Well, let me introduce Betty Dodson. She is the author of the legendary 1972 Manifesto Liberating Masturbation, which is published in book form as Sex for One. She has an incredible website, which is called DodsonandRoss.com.
Now, if anybody has any trouble with remembering Dodson and Ross, if you just type in my name, BettyDodson.com, I have a landing page that'll take you to the main.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, the main website.
So this is a really good website with incredible amount of information. There are weekly video podcasts, which Betty and her partner Carlin do, which are also available on YouTube. And also daily updates, news events, and also Betty's writings. And it's a really great, and also Betty has gone multimedia. You're starting to produce videos, are you not?
Oh, we start Monday. Yes, we're going to have a new series, the Sexual Skills series.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that neat?
I think that's really incredible. I think, there's other people who have done these sort of videos, but I'm waiting to see what you do.
It's going to be very, very visually oriented because that's how I learn. It's hard for me to learn from reading, but we will have text running down the side of the clips. They will be between 5 and 10 minutes, and you can download them off the website.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Will there also be a DVD available?
Well, when we get enough together to put them in on a DVD, we will.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's good.
So we're just going to do sections at a time. No one has any attention span, you know? So
that's true. You know, I see that in the porn business, the latest thing is streaming videos, and like Andrew Blake, the leading director, that's what he does now. He makes little films, he puts them all on the website, and when he gets enough, he puts out a disc.
Exactly what we want to do. I went to Colin, I don't know, maybe she got the idea from him.
Well, you know what, also I found there's this new video that came out with some former soap opera actors who turned to porn. But what was surprising about it was on the website, it says, click here to download the video instantly. And if you're old-fashioned, we'll even mail you a DVD.
If you want, you mean you want to hold something in your hand?
Yeah.
Well,
say you're, And to say you're old-fashioned, we'll send you a DVD.
Good. Oh, that's good. That's cool. And we will when we get... I mean, I'm just looking at this because I wanted... I produce 4 or 5, I don't know, DVDs, and you've got... Oh, it's so time-consuming, and you have to lay out all that upfront money, and then everybody has to be paid, and then you've got to, you know, print it and get a cover, and then I have to store it, and then sell it and ship it, and think of all the, you know, planets, resources that get used in that process. So now, once it's electronic, we'll turn them into DVDs for people who want them, but I really think that medium is on its way out.
I think so, too, because there's now, you know, there's this little box that you can attach to your computer that you also attach to your TV, and it can send a video from Netflix through the computer onto your TV.
Now you're talking.
And there's also one that does that for porno also. There's one. It's the same thing. So I think that right now... Unfortunately, I don't want to say this, but I think DVD is on life support.
It's your life support?
Yeah. DVD is on life support. VHS is already...
Oh, it's on life. Oh, I didn't get that, Stephen. It's on life support, right.
It's on life support.
Got it.
And
well,
I don't think Blu-ray is ever going to really make it, but I could be wrong.
Well, the whole idea is that technology is moving so fast that... I can't keep up with it, but I'm going to give it a good shot.
Well, if anything is sure to me is that whatever you do, it's going to be super high quality because you really care.
Yeah, I have a fine art background, which makes me very, very picky.
Yes, yes. And I remember seeing some of your, when you were at Mosex, you had an exhibition of your art.
Oh, I showed slides.
Yes, it was. You hadn't shown your art in quite a long time when you did this.
Well, that was quite a few years ago. I have a DVD out with me lecturing with slides of my art. I should send you
great.
One. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, it was funny when you made your very first video. I think this was... This must have been 91, 92.
Yep.
I actually called you and I got through to you, and we talked a little bit.
And?
And you were very nice. I ordered the video, and you even wrote to me. You wrote me a letter, and because I was doing channeling at the time, and some meditative practices, which I'm no longer doing that anymore.
You were channeling.
I give up the woo-woo business.
Oh, Lord. All right, so who were you channeling, darling?
At that time, I was working with, like, Merlin and some masters.
Well, that must be fun.
It was, but it kind of like, it's you have to really be into it, and... after a while, I just found it was too much for me. I wanted a life, a real life on Earth, and not to be somebody else's mouthpiece.
Good for you, Stephen.
Yes, I decided to leave the woo-woo world and come back to the real world.
Welcome. I really wish everybody would come back. I do. I think it's... Well, I know. I promised Gray I wouldn't badmouth the Tantra community and all that, since they gave me a big fat award, but it's hard for me to keep my mouth shut.
Well, I just want to let you know, Beta, we are on the adult channel, so we are uncensored. You can say anything
damn
you
shit,
want, however you
this,
want.
Pussy, clit, cunt, cock, asshole, yeah, baby.
Okay, and I know this is it. This is what I've been waiting for, this show.
Finally, we can talk like we're people.
We can talk like we're people, not like when you're on Naked New York or Real Personal.
Oh, that's just pathetic, really.
I still have those shows, you know.
I think I
made you a copy of them and gave them to you.
Well, that's it. Then I put it directly into my batch over here that I consider archival.
Yes.
You're very good about that.
Well, that's what I, I'm one of these obsessive researcher people, and basically that's how I got the job where I have at Sexy Spirits. I just started, I started coming here like a regular person, but at the end of every lecture, I would send Anton an email, an article based on that lecture. He'd say, "This is great, this is better than the lecture, where'd you find it?" And I said, "Well, that's what I do, I find things." He said, "I think I might have a job for you."
Oh, research, yes, yes. Locating things and then bringing it. Like, I've gotten a lot of things from you, Steve, and I wouldn't know where they were, like that WR, that the organism thing, which everybody thinks is orgasm, mystery of the organism.
Yes, which you are in, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that was one of the first things I did back in the, that was back in the late 60s.
Yeah.
Whew.
I remember watching that, and I said, "Oh, my God, that's Betty."
And what about, you got the Kronhausen's first movie on sex?
You know, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. They made something called The Hottest Show in Town. I only have clips of it. There were clips of it in an old film called SOS, which is Screw on the Screen by Al Goldstein. And they show a few clips from that movie, and he said it was one of the best things that was ever produced. It was lovingly produced by them, but I wish I could get it. It's probably it's probably available somewhere. You just have.
Didn't
to
you get more. One? Did someone send me one? I think I have it. I think someone sent it to me. The Freedom to Love, is that what it's called?
That might be what it's called. I know there was one that they made called The Hottest Show in Town, but this could be something else, though.
Well, this is their first legitimate full-length feature about the freedom to love. And they covered quite a few interesting things. They made it in Europe, and I was in Amsterdam at the time. And
yes.
When they were here in New York, they interviewed me as a, the erotic artist. That's when I was doing art. And they had me drawing a couple having sex. And then when I showed up in Amsterdam, I was at this marvelous sex party, and they said, "Oh, we're gonna film one. Will you do it?" And I said, "Sure." I mean, that was fun, and I got to wear a wig and the whole thing. But I recognized my ass.
Well, did you were at were you at the famous film festival they had in Amsterdam that Jim ran?
Oh yes, yes, the second one, not the first one. I was at the one they did in 70, the Wet Dream Film Festival, the second
yes.
one. Boy, that was a week to remember.
Well, you're also in a new film, which came out recently, which is out in stores now, and it's also on pay-per-view, called American Swing, which talks about the rise and fall of Plato's Retreat in New York City.
I made it clear to them that Plato's Retreat was, not that I had anything against it, but I was only there once. So that my being in that film was simply to support that period in history where group sex was a lot of fun and very, very, a very wonderful thing to do, with like-minded people, really. It was a fabulous period in our history.
Yes, and what I liked about it was the ending, because you're at the very end and you give a very poignant message.
Oh.
To have no regrets.
Really, it's hard for me to see myself, but I know I am a senior elder, whatever they call them. Not that I feel that way, but I know I look that way, because when I look in the mirror, I look like my mother. Sometimes I say, "Hi, Bessie, how you doing?" But so I'm thinking, that must be great. They're watching this thing, and here's this really old lady talking about having sex in groups. And really, can you imagine? I feel sorry for everybody who was alive during that period and didn't take advantage of it.
Yes.
Wow, what a shame.
And it's the fact that what touched me was you're so full of life. You're so full of hope. You have all that even now. as opposed to the protagonist of that film, Larry Levinson, who, you know, he died not too long ago, but he died a broken man.
Oh, I know. You told me that, and I really, you know, I didn't know him. I'm sure I saw him there, or maybe our paths crossed at some point, but I really didn't know him, and it's always sad. I mean, the same thing with Al Goldstein. He just, you know, these guys that were breaking barriers end up going down the tubes. It's a shame, because they served a function. They really did something worthwhile.
Right, and then I think in terms of Goldstein, a lot of it was just, you know, he didn't. Unfortunately, he didn't keep up with the changes in the technology. Got past him. And then, you know, I don't want this to be morbid or anything like that, but it's also, this is the week that we lost Marilyn Chambers also.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's something to the idea that if you have fame, and of course whatever fortune goes with that, at an early age, and then nothing ever happens to you after that,
yeah,
that's a tough one.
I think so too, because, you know, there was, there's a really great DVD set out. It's called Pornography, The Secret History of Western Civilization. It's a two-disc set, and it's an amazing history all the way from Pompeii to modern times. It was shot about 12 years ago, but there's a scene with Marilyn where she says, "I always thought this would lead to bigger and better things," and she goes, "Boy, was I wrong."
That's, there it goes. The same thing true with Linda Lovelace, who,
yes,
you know, broke through with Deep Throat.
Yeah.
I don't know, a while back, she died several years ago in a car accident.
Yes.
But I met her at the Museum of Sex, because she was signing books. I don't know how long ago. I don't relate to time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get old, you can't remember, so you just definitely are in the present moment. But I remember going up to her, and I shook her hand, and I said, you know, we really loved you in Deep Throat, and it gave a lot of us permission, a lot of women permission, to give blowjobs with a little more finesse. And she looked at me and she said, "I'm just a grandmother, and all I want to do is take care of my grandchildren." And I went, "Oh, bullshit! You know,
yeah,
what a tragedy! I'm just a grandmother, and all I want to do is take care of my grandchildren." Well, that's a downer. I mean, really, if that's all you're living for, there's got to be more. But maybe there isn't.
There has to be. I think there has to be. But I think for some people, you know, they reach a certain level in terms of, I don't want to say consciousness or awareness, and can't go any further, and then they backslide. I think cases, you know, particularly tragic. I mean, she was, you know, one doesn't know the complete story. I don't think we can ever say what the real truth was. I don't really believe that story that she told, because there were too many people who said it just didn't happen.
Oh, no, that was, you know, the feminists grabbed her and really abused her by using her as a symbol to, you know, to demonize pornography. That was ridiculous. I mean, you know, I'm a feminist, and I never got much support from them, and I, well, you know, the website is feminist-based, but I got to tell you, the New York feminists, and I don't know, probably in other parts of the country, are the most conservative when it comes to sex. I just, they drive me crazy, and I don't see much of an improvement, and it's true for women in general. We're still clinging to the, you know, the old romantic myth, and
yes.
Oh, dear, don't get me started.
Well, yes, I want to get you started.
Oh, you want to get me started?
Well, like, what is, like, when I listen to you and Carlin doing your podcast, what is the one question that keeps coming up over and over again? How can I come during intercourse with my partner?
And it's like first-time orgasm. I have a section on the website. Go and read it. And I talked to a class up in Maine University. Sandy Carone has a class up there, and every semester she calls me, and I talk to her graduating class. And I told them that the question that I get on the website most consistently is, How can I have an orgasm during intercourse? And my second book, or get third or fourth, whatever, Orgasms for Two, really makes this very clear. Just include your clitoris. How you masturbate and have an orgasm is what you want to do during partner sex. So when he's fucking nice and nice in and out of your vagina, you add a little lube if needed be, and then you reach down and do your clit at the same time. Now, he'll want to do it, but trust me, you'll do it better. And he can concentrate on fucking and his position and, you know, whatever else he wants to add to the mix. But we each should be able to control the stimulation of our separate orgasms instead of the woman always accommodating the man, always making the adjustment, always following his lead. No wonder we can't come from intercourse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's, it's unfortunate, but that point has to be hit over and over and over again. So I guess you're going to be saying this from now until the end of time.
Until I leave the planet, I'll be saying, reach down and do your own clitoris, girlfriend. And if the guy objects...
we'll have you on the internet saying it, Betty, too.
Say what?
We'll have you on the internet so you can do it perpetually.
Oh, good, good. Take it. Oh, and by the way, those of us that love our vibrators, you just put your vibrator there.
Yes.
And then my next line is, and if your boyfriend can't handle it, keep the vibrator and recycle the boyfriend.
That's wonderful. And also, you had another one also, another good one. I think it was not this week's, but the last one you did with Carlin, the podcast. A lesbian had not yet achieved orgasm, and you said, oh, I bet it's that goddamn G-spot again.
I'm not very subtle. You know, that's one of the best things. I mean, you're too young to know this yet, but one of the best things about getting old is you just don't give a shit anymore what people think.
Yes.
It's so much freedom. It's like, oh, Betty, you don't, that'll offend somebody. Yeah, I don't care. I've been around for 80 years. I can offend anyone I want.
And I think you've parted ways with V-Day.
Totally. I mean, so totally I can't tell you. Now, I'm not going to say that raising money and creating safe houses or whatever they're doing is fine. That's fine. I got no problem with it, but. God, this Valentine's Day, you know, vagina monologues and all the college campuses, the women aren't learning anything about sex.
No.
And what you want to talk about breaking my heart, I mean, can you imagine that we're going around calling our sex organ by the wrong name? We don't even know what to call it? So how the hell can we enjoy it if it's misnamed? Because as long as we call our sex organ a vagina, that means if you stick something in it, we ought to be able to have an orgasm.
Yes. And that's strictly the birth canal.
Exactly. That's my big complaint.
Yes.
Now, am I against vaginal penetration? No. No. Am I against, I am a little bit against it. It's such a, you know why? It's a fetish.
Yes.
Sticking something in the vagina is a goddamn fetish, and if you don't want to make babies anymore, there are so many interesting ways you can have sex besides that.
Yes, well, I am absolutely 100% with you on that. You know, I don't want to make babies. That's for certain.
So there's other things we can play, other games, other sensations. Now I want you to know that. That I had vaginal sex throughout my entire decade of my 70s with a young, beautiful man. And and believe it or not, in order to do that, I have to take an estrogen cream that I shoot inside my pussy. It's bioidentical. It's made from soybean. They haven't done much research on it. So far, it doesn't seem to have caused any problems. I know I won't touch anything that comes out of the pharmaceutical industry, so I'm not going to do the estrogen supplement that's made from a pregnant mare, a horse. I mean, you can just, the thought of it already is, it's not a good match. I'm not the size of a horse. But the little plant, the little soybean plant, seems much friendlier. And it works, and you don't have to take it systemically. It's not going through your whole body, and your liver and stuff doesn't have to break it down. So I'm thinking, you know, I think it's time for me to let go of that. I really do. Why do I want to continue that? I mean, unless some fabulous hot hunk shows up with a dick I can't resist, then I might, you know, do it again. So I'm kind of one foot in one camp and one foot in the other camp. Do I want to continue keeping my vaginal barrel in shape? Because the rest of my body's falling apart. That seems to be the one area the old puss is working pretty good. But in the meantime, I probably need to do more exercising, like getting back into the gym. I stopped swimming because I couldn't stand the chlorine. Oh, so it's been almost 6 months since I've been swimming. And I can feel it. I can really feel the, you know, and the website, my God, it's completely taken us over. I don't know where that phone call ringing is coming from. Is that you or me?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
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 Yes, I'm back. We're back now.
Oh, so who called?
Well, this is live internet radio, and just like the live radio of the past, we have technical difficulties at times. So
that was technical. Oh, I thought maybe we were getting an important call.
No. There's no important call to me than you, darling, right now.
And they were going to say, you have to watch your mouth.
No. No, this is the adult channel.
Okay, good. I have been so badgered with censorship my entire career.
Yes.
Not the art career, but once I started taking on, you know, masturbation as a topic or as a subject or as my, you know, caused it, celeb, it's just every time people come on, we have to do an interview, and I always end up on the cutting room floor. It's just exhausting. And so when the internet came around, this is the first time, Stephen, I haven't been censored.
And it's me who gets the benefit of that.
It's amazing, huh?
It is. It's amazing that I'm even doing this, and it's like, you know, just everything just seems to be lining up at this moment. I just can't say again, I'm very grateful, and just to be able to talk to you.
Oh, darling, you're that's very sweet. I should give you a hand job someday. How come you didn't say when?
That would be an honor. I mean, I already got humped by you once. So.
Did you?
Oh, just briefly, when you were at an event.
I was
also privileged to hear to be at when you made one of your famous quotes, which I use so much.
Which is?
Which is at Barbara Corrales's book party at Most Sex, and she said, Betty is the true tantrika, and you nodded, and I said, hey, Betty, do we have to call everything tantra? And you said, how many fucking candles do I have to light?
Oh, did I really?
Yes. That, you've been immortalized by that.
It's amazing. See, a lot of this stuff I don't even remember saying, so I get my life is being fed back to me, and I think, I didn't say that. You made that up.
See, that's why you got to have someone like me around who remembers everything.
Well, the other thing is that some people remember things that I know I didn't do or say, but I don't mind, and I don't bother to correct them, because I love it. I think, oh, wow. Because I got to keep my bad reputation solid.
Yes.
I mean, I work at it. I work on it.
Well, then, since I used that line, let's continue to create your bad reputation. What do you think of Tantra?
It's truthfully, it's too much trouble. I don't want to do a daily religious practice or spiritual practice. If I can just take a shit, have an orgasm, and eat a good meal, talk to some friends, and get my job done, that's fine. I'm happy with that. But of course, now I'm in an advanced age. I explored Tantra back in the 60s. Now that's a long time ago, and I actually had this lover who was very much into it, and we did quite a few of the rituals together. And the best thing I ever read about Tantra was there was some kind of a group of people, Tantra people, that they would meet once a year and have a ritualistic orgy and pick a partner for the following year that they were going to practice with. And I thought, I'm down with that. I could have a new lover every year and practice rituals and then move along. If we could take a night off every now and then. I guess my feeling is it becomes tedious.
Yes.
It's almost you have to go through a lot of machinations to have a little pleasure.
I think what it is, and I think you might have said this also, is that it's a way for Western people to have guilt-free sex.
To have what kind?
To have guilt-free sex. It's a way for Western people who probably were raised Christian, if I just do Tantra, well, this is spiritual, so I can have sex and I can have multiple partners.
Yes.
It'll be all right.
I agree with you. Yes, it is easy and gentle for people who are recovering Catholics and Protestants and Baptists, etc. And it is. It's an introduction to sex that seems more spiritual. I got it.
Yeah.
And I think that, and listen, I learned a lot when I was doing it in the 60s, although I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it's the whole thing is that there's no harm in a couple going to these workshops and breathing together and moving their bodies and oming and meditation. I still meditate,
yeah,
not on a regular basis. But I like to sit down in front of my little altar and light a candle. Actually, I've never lit more than 1, 2, 3, 5. In order for me to, my favorite look, see, for me it's visual. I like the way it looks in my fireplace. I have a little altar in my fireplace. I actually went a period of time because I couldn't sit on the floor when I had hip replacement. Now I'm so stiff from sitting in the chair working on the computer that I went to sit down there the other day. I said, I can't stay here very long because my knee hurts when I sit cross-legged. And I think, Gandhi did that until he was, that little skinny brown man would sit there and he'd cross those legs and put one on top of the other. And
yes.
But he lived on the floor the whole time. I mean, I'm not accustomed to that.
Well, I've been wanting to tell you this story, so now is my chance to do it. About a year ago, I went to one of these emotional freedom technique workshops.
Ooh, I don't know about this.
Well, it's like where you tap on the different spots of your the pressure points to it helps to move the emotions and things like that, and it can be used for all kinds of things like blood pressure, it was being held in someone's apartment. And I said, I wonder whose part. I knew that one of the women who was organizing it was a tantrika. And I was thinking to myself, could this be a tantrika's apartment? This kind of looks like a little familiar to me. And I said, I see a statue here. I see the artwork, possibly. Someone later then confirmed to me it was a tantrika's apartment. But the thing that was the dead giveaway was all the candles in this place.
Was all the what?
All the candles.
Ah, like Hollywood.
Yeah, all the candles. And I said to myself, you know what? Look at all these fucking candles. This has got to be a tantric apartment.
Well, you know, candlelight is beautiful. I got to say, it is. Come on, Stephen. You know, but I have to laugh when Hollywood does a candle scene. They have 100, 200, 300 candles all lit at once. And I'm going, oh, whoever has to dress that set, or they're really busting their hump. Because then if they stop, they got to blow them all out and then light them again. It's outrageous.
Yeah. Well, that's what they have unions for.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely. It's a job. Aye. So what was the workshop like?
It was actually quite good. You would tap on the different pressure points. And I definitely felt a change in me when I would do that. And occasionally I have bouts with high blood pressure. And I did it one time, and it worked. I felt, and I had this, like, headache that had been, I had it for, like, 3 days. And when I did it, it stopped.
Ooh, that's nice.
And I also know that you can use it for sex as well. There are people who are starting to use it for that as well, and also with anxiety and all kinds of different modalities. You know, I can send you, I'll send you a link to it.
Okay.
But what was what got me was seeing all these candles, and I could hear your voice in my head. Look at all these candles.
Look at all these fucking candles. Oh, I do know that. But I just always have to say it again. I love candlelight. The older you get, the more you love it. Very flattering.
Yes.
Very flattering.
Oh, it is. I think it's a wonderful thing to have. It's just that, you know, it's part of that whole stereotypical, the rituals and stuff like that.
Yep.
But it's just a wonderful quote of yours.
that you'll go down in history. So are these pressure points, energy or energy centers, or chakras, or
they're actually acupressure points.
Acupressure, because I have a new massage therapist I'm working with, which I couldn't. You know, massage is one of my main medicines or healing modalities. And she starts off with extreme pressure with her elbow on a lot of pressure points. And she'll stay there until she feels it letting go. And it, you know, talk about SM, it keeps me right on the edge of pleasure, pain, pleasure, pain, pleasure, pain, pleasure. And you, you're about to say no. And then it goes, no, yes, yeah, oh. And it's very, very interesting. And then you feel it let go. Oh, so it's like these little pressure points are having little baby orgasms and letting go.
Yes.
Isn't that cute?
It is. It is. And it's definitely, I can definitely recommend trying it. It certainly has, I certainly have seen results from it my own self. I know I have to keep on doing it. It's something that you have to, once you start doing it, you kind of have to do it like as, a daily practice, but it does work, you know, and it certainly helped me. And you know, I'm for anything that relieves pain.
Yes, unless you want pain, and then you do it artfully.
Yes, if I want a spanking, I'll go get one. But pain of itself is something I do not enjoy.
I know, and it's something that most of the culture is in right now. Either financially, emotionally, physically. And I'm a big proponent on, you know, what we're putting in our mouth, what goes in one end and what comes out the other is the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're not paying enough attention to.
Yes. Now, you had a very interesting post on your website in response to a New York Times article about sugar daddies and sugar babies.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I mean, what a great period that we're living in. Oh my God, what I would have gone through. You know, that is that where I did the essay about what I went through to, with the concept of being a kept woman or being helped by
yes.
a rich man.
Yes.
Oh, in my era, and when I grew up, a woman accepting money for sex was the bottom of the barrel. And
yes.
that was so strong in me. You know, and then I'm thinking, oh, come on, it's they cut a deal. And you, when you get older, you realize that, we got the pussy and the guys have got the money, so we make a deal. They want sex and we want money. It's, we don't get equal pay for equal work. We don't have equal opportunity. And so here's the equalizer. And they're married to, good girls because they had babies with them. So somebody's got to service the good old boys. And here we are. It's an amazing concept.
Yeah, I don't see why it's so hard for people to get that.
Oh, they're just jealous.
Yes.
Really, I would chalk it up to that. I mean, when I think about it, I think, God, when I was, in my 20s and 30s, and after, I had a short stint there where I was married, but there were a lot of times as a starving artist, man, I could have turned a trick and taken a lot of pressure off. But I would never
yes.
have done that. I couldn't possibly conceive of it. So that's conditioning, kiddo.
Yes.
And so now at 80, I am still turning tricks in terms of my private sessions. I consider myself I consider myself a sex worker. It's just that I'm
yes.
working with women, and I'm teaching them how to use sex toys and how to best masturbate and how to get a good orgasm. But it's hands-on. I'm not sitting behind a desk taking notes and talking. But
right.
my friends who are prostitutes won't consider me a sex worker. And it kind of hurts my feelings, I got to say. And, because I'm not, because I'm working with women instead of men.
Well, didn't you have a one-time workshop where you did work with men?
I had, in my entire career, I had three or four workshops of all men to see if the body sex format would work for men. And it was ridiculous that a woman is going to show a guy how to jerk off. But I learned from it. I guess in a way I did it for me to learn more about male sexuality. And the guys were so good. They were so great. They were delightful. And
what did you learn?
Well, it's like I would take the women through a series of, warm-up exercises just to get the blood going. And I would, at the time, my girlfriend who was assisting me, we were into the martial arts. So we were doing both yoga and martial arts. So I'd get them into the horse and, we'd do the punching out with the sound behind it. And I thought, well, this taken because when we were at the point where I was having them do the belly dance, rotating their hips, that was difficult for them. So I thought, let me give them something that really, that'll make it. I'd never want to give a group something to do that they aren't going to be able to do because that's depressing. So I said, we'll throw some punches with sound, So now we're going to be in a martial art. A lot of guys couldn't do it.
Wow.
And I went, oh, that's a big assumption, Dodson. Wow. There were a lot of things like that would pop up that, the male role and it's the same thing we do with women, the female role. So this concept of male and female, the roles, that's all about how we've been conditioned to behave a certain way, which would be appropriate to a woman and appropriate to a man. And the minute you use the word appropriate, that's cultural. That's not natural or it's ingrained, it's conditioning. It's not the whole potential of who we can be. But it was fun. And then I did, after when I turned 50, I went into menopause instantly. In one month, my period had stopped. So I thought, now what am I going to do for this decade? I like to cast my decades. Like I definitely had when I was 39 and I was getting ready to turn 40, that's like, back then it was like a big marker, and I thought, what am I going to do? 40. And I thought, I'll be a famous erotic artist. And then when I turned 50, I thought, what am I going to do now? I was still running the workshop. I'm going to be a postmenopausal prostitute. And so my girlfriends, I had a girlfriend here in New York. She wanted me to do a double with her. She'd wanted me to do this for years. And I would always say, no, 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 no. I do sex with women for a living. No, no, no. Enough already. It's a busman's holiday. But I finally did one time because I was curious. Curiosity is one of my strengths. And I was blown away. It's nothing like what you think. So I thought, I'm gonna do this for a while. Then I did a second one with her. And the third one, the guy says, I really enjoyed your book. And I went, that blew it, because she promised me I was going to be anonymous. As an anonymous person, prostitute, you are an observer. But if it's who I am, this teacher who teaches women about orgasm, you know, with some old fart turning a trick with my aging prostitute girlfriend, it was just like, oh, no, it blew it. Then I went, oh, I got it. Once a year, I was going out to San Francisco. So I told a couple of the prostitutes in San Francisco that this is the decade of the 80s. I had so much fun with them. They were so not the cliche. They were hot. They were hip. They were educated. They were swift. None of them had any kind of control over them by any man. They were investing their money. They had a system where if there was a bad guy, the word would go out and the women wouldn't book him. So I did that for about 8 years. Once a year, I continued to turn an anonymous trick because no one knew me there, and they had to promise not to break my anonymity or the deal was off. So I was the masturbating voyeur who talked dirty. How perfect is that?
That is perfect. You know, it just seems to me that there's so much that we're losing by not legalizing this, by not allowing it to come from the underground.
Well, I don't know where I read it somewhere, but if they legalized marijuana and prostitution, it would take care of the economy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember. Al Goldstein said, "You want to get rid of the debt, tax every ejaculation, and we'll be debt-free in like 2 minutes."
Do you know? Is he still around? What happened to Al?
Yes, he's still around. He's still alive. The last thing I heard, he was working maybe at a deli at one point. I think he was also living in a shelter. I know he has a blog somewhere. And he's also in American Swing as well.
I mean, that would be a recent image of him.
Yes.
Because I know he had that surgery to, you know, reduce the size of your stomach, and that he got thin.
He did get thin. He lost a lot of weight. He's thin. He looks like an old thin man now.
Oh, I'm sorry that it turned out that badly. But, you know, one of the things I never will forget him saying to me, because he was such a loudmouth piece of shit, he said, anybody who has your talent and your ability who's done what you've done has to be so dumb not to have a lot of money. I can't believe it. And I said, well, Al, that's not my focus. I'm not focused on making a lot of money. So that was his focus, and look where he ended up. And that was not
Absolutely.
My focus, and I'm doing a lot better. So when I get to see him, I'm going to say, blah, blah, you're an old skinny man, and I'm a very successful, rich old lady.
And you have your own apartment. He doesn't.
Oh, the homeless thing, that's devastating. That beautiful brownstone he owned, you know what?
That's gone.
That idiot, he ate himself to death, or he ate himself to misery.
I think that, and he married himself to misery.
Yeah, because everything.
All
okay.
His marriages.
He had to marry them to get laid.
Yeah, it was all. I think it was it was the marriages. But what happened was the internet more or less destroyed him and a lot of other people. A lot of other people were caught off guard. Guccione also was caught off guard by the internet. The only ones who really did the internet well was Larry Flint and Hefner.
Was who?
Larry Flint.
Oh, Larry. Oh, he's smart.
And Hefner.
Hefner, well, that was most of, uh, it was, He didn't have anything to do with the internet. You know, his company was smart enough to get the
right.
Playboy Channel.
Right. But Al didn't do that. I mean, he could have done very well if he went to the internet, if he started doing his own films, but he just didn't. So.
Well, it's too bad. You know, that's that. He was always very belligerent.
Yes.
You know, you couldn't tell him anything. So I'm sure that, you know, he said, oh, fuck you, it's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's, I know I didn't get my website until 98, the end of the 90s. And I was really struggling. I mean, I was trying to make a living on just doing a workshop and an occasional lecture and an article every now and then. You know, I've always been freelance. I never had a job. And I thought, I'm dying here. I'm dying. What's going to happen? And so when my buddy Grant said, can I, you know, build a website for you? I didn't even know what he was talking about, you know, like Pinker Toys. Build it. Go ahead. What is it? I gave him, you know, sure, go ahead. He wanted to retrain his brain because he'd had a stroke. And
yes.
He wanted to learn the HTML language. I had no idea what any of that was at all. And I didn't learn to type until I was 58. I mean, I'm telling you, this is like backward Nelly over here. And once I got it, I just said, this knocks me out. This level of
yes.
communication, and to think the level of communication I was on with, you know, 10, 15 women once a month, a lecture at a college or a university, you know, what, 50, 100 people, because I could never get any really big coverage on television. And I
right.
could, and then even cable censored me. So this is the first time I've had a venue that I'm free.
Well, you could go off and do webinars.
Well, we're talking about that, and it's just, you know, one thing at a time here. It's I'm so lucky to have Carlin as a business partner.
Yes.
She is so fabulous. I cannot get over it. A friend of ours said, Carlin, it personifies what you were teaching back in the 70s in terms of a woman who would be sexually liberated.
Yes.
And there are days I can hardly handle her because I think she's too much over the top. And then I go, oh, I said that. You have to be independent sexually, financially, you know, make your decisions. I mean, she's living my philosophy.
Well, there you go. The student just shows that the teacher's work was right.
And now she's my teacher in terms of the technology.
I loved the last podcast you did with the ball gag.
She didn't leave it on long. She edited it too quickly. There was some funny things. You know, she got that off real quick. Well, because it destroyed her beautiful face. A little bit of vanity there, but not too much. She is gorgeous.
Yeah, one of these days I have to meet her. I've only talked to her through emails.
Oh, well, you have to come over and
absolutely.
Come over and have tea with us, darling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm free.
You're available. Now, Stephen,
available.
Don't make it too easy.
No, not too
say,
easy. No, I have to.
I always go, listen, let me, I have to look at my calendar here.
I got to look at my calendar. Let me see. What am I doing now? I'm so busy. I'll see if I can squeeze it through.
I'll see if I can work you in sometime next week. Anyway.
Yeah, so we'll see what we're doing over here now.
So, yeah, come over
here.
My
little W.C. Fields is there.
Do it again.
It's I'm when you said about money, I'm surprised that you don't get a percentage of every vibrator that's ever sold.
Well, you know, I'm not excited. As Al said, I wasn't a very good businesswoman, but I was very creative, and I am an innovator, and I'm a hell
yes.
of an artist, and I'm a good teacher. And you know what? You just can only do so many things well. and business was not what I did well. But I managed, and now I've got a partner who's really good at business. So this next decade is going to be the best. So how many people can hit 80 and say, wow, this next decade is going to be all mine? It's happening. Now, I thought it was going to happen when I was in my 30s. I thought it was going to happen when I was in my 40s, my 50s, my 60s. My 70s was a good run. You know, a lot of nice things came down the pike. But this one's it, the big eight.
The big eight. Well, I want to thank you and tell you you are an inspiration. You are a continuing inspiration for me and for many other people. And I'm very grateful that you spent this time with me.
I loved every minute, Stephen.
And it's just truly a pleasure. I know we trade a lot of emails, but I so often don't get the chance to talk to you. Except a few times when I did call you, you said, "What's the matter? You're tired of typing?"
I said, "What?
Are you tired of typing?
Are you tired of typing? Where do these things come from?" You finally picked up the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did go back and forth a few times on that one thing. And see, now I know chat's available, but I really haven't ever used it yet.
Yes. That's
and
really
I know Skype
thing.
Skype is available. I've never really done Skype. I had a cell phone briefly on one of my last trips, but I threw it away. Now, Carlin has a cell phone, so that whenever we travel, everybody calls her to get a hold of me. And I got to tell you, I think that's how the movie stars live. They don't actually do their own. Their agent or the person that manages them or whatever. So that's the other role she plays. She can make deals for me. She can, you know, you have to go through her to get to me. I love it. I'm crazy about it. The whole setup right now could not be better. And I just renovated my bathroom, so you have to come over and pee in my new toilet.
Well, that will definitely put that on my calendar.
I definitely will do that. I thought I'd get you with that one.
Truly a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I wish you continued success and even greater.
And the same to you, Stephen. Same to you, darling. Is this good night?
This is good night.
Good night, sweetie. Talk to you later.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
This is Stephen Onateros, and this has been Mondo Eros on bbsradio.com. We will return next week for some more stimulating conversations with the fascinating people of erotica. Thank you, and good evening.